The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the talk station, its management, or ownership.
All I know is that first, you've got to get mad.
This is the Rage.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
What is truth and what they want you to believe
may not be the same thing.
Is in bloom, the PR, transmissions will resume. I try to push, try to keep us all down.
If you're not mad yet, you should be. It's time to get your rage on.
On this most auspicious of nights, permit me then, in lieu of the more commonplace sobriquet, to suggest the character of this dramatis persona.
And now, The Rage, with your host, Catch 22.
Welcome back to The Rage, FM 107 AM 1240, thetalkstation.com. If you care to catch us on the stream, it is open lines for the last hour, and we're going to talk about everybody's little rage on. I wanted to make one more comment about the Egyptian thing before we moved off of that altogether and pose this question to you guys. What do you think? I think that the military in Egypt is doing a really good job of staying cool. What do you think would happen in this country if what happened in Cairo happened in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I would only
Baltimore, hope, any mate Raleigh.
I would only hope that our military, our law enforcement, would go to the Oath Keepers website and sign the oath that they would never turn their guns against the American people. Because the oath you took was to this country and the Constitution. It wasn't to the corporations, as it wasn't to these.
My question was, what do you think would happen? Just give an opinion. Don't get on a soapbox about it. But
I think it's a 50-50 chance right now, quite frankly. I mean, let's take the guy that didn't like my bumper sticker. That's another story we can talk about, driving down I-70, and somebody drove by and didn't like my 9/11 was an inside job bumper sticker, a Marine, a young Marine. You should call in, too, Mr. Davis, and threw something at my car. I didn't know what it was till later. Turned out to be a bottle of KY jelly. I guess you think I know what he was trying to tell me to do. The other question, what was he doing driving down the road with a bottle of KY jelly? But the point is I don't know. I know if it was that Marine, I think he would shoot first and ask questions later. The old, I don't know, kill them all and let God sort them out later mentality.
Bill, what do you think?
Well, I lived in Los Angeles area when the Watts riots went down.
Yes, sir.
And I can tell you, I was working at JPL at the time, and I had a direct interface with the security officer at JPL. He called me in when they were starting to spread out from Los Angeles into Pasadena and Altadena and some of the outlying suburban areas. And he called me in and said, well, the Los Angeles County Sheriff just called me and said that basically if your people, I was working for Bendix at the time at the Space Tracking Center, he said, if your people want to carry a gun back and forth to work, the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department will turn their head. The next day I carried a 38 automatic with me and a double-barrel shotgun. I had to go through downtown Pasadena. I was stopped at an intersection, and these crowds came out for the sidewalk, menacing to me, and I pulled my 38 out, threw a round in the chamber, and laid it on the dashboard, and got the shotgun out, and everybody backed off. Well, there weren't any sheriff people out there. There were no National Guard. But Watts was, you know, everybody knows what happened in Watts. Mm-hmm. Burn, baby, burn. And that's what happened to me. And I would say probably if that happened at Cove City, we'd probably have the same situation. Most of us would carry our guns and protect ourselves as best as we could. And I think the police would kind of take a back seat and keep a low profile.
Well, you know, you don't think that anybody would call out? You don't think they would use military?
I don't know. I don't know. I mean, I'm that's a hard question to ask. It depends on how militant the demonstration. in this case in L.A., it was, you know, they burned the city down, you know. They were killing people.
And they did pull military in that, too, didn't they?
They did, yeah. And there were certain areas where they did have, you know, police and military doing, but in the suburbs where I lived, they were non-existent.
Let's look. The question was, what would the military and law enforcement do, right? Let's look at the track record. Let's look at go ahead.
Edwin, what do you think would happen?
Well, I'm hoping that the local law enforcement would try to control it, but in any time of chaos situation, it's. I remember, it's not similar to that, but I remember growing up in the Bronx when they had the blackout in 1977. Before I joined the Navy, and the light, and this was in the summertime, and it was a blackout for almost 2.5 days. When you have a situation where you can have chaos in and people go crazy, the local law enforcement will try to do as best they can and not try to have loss of life. And hopefully, if that happened here in this country, but you don't know what could happen. If everybody, you know, cool heads prevail and protesting for a certain function because they're happy or doing something to change a certain environment is one thing. But if they're going to cause, you know, hate and violence and burn down buildings and overturn cars and start burning tires is another thing.
Well, let's look at the track record, okay? World War II, okay, Japanese internment camps, German-American internment camps. That's what our military did. Let's look at Ruby Ridge when Juan Carahucci, FBI sharpshooter, shot Randy Weaver's wife, Vicky Weaver, right between the eyes with a high-powered rifle. Let's look at Waco, what the FBI and the ATF did down there. Let's look at Kent State. I mean, 4 dead in Ohio, okay? If we look at the track record of our military and our law enforcement, it's not a very good one at all. Let's look what they did to the World War One marchers that were trying to get their money from the government after World War One. All the veterans went to Washington, D.C., the tent city, and what happened to them? They mowed them down with tanks.
I brought the subject up because I feel that the economic downturn is a long way from pulling up because we haven't solved the problem. We're only making it worse, and I think that there is a possibility that there may be large groups of protesters in the United States is the reason why I brought it up, and I think they're going to come down with a hammer. I think they're just looking for the reason to use it.
George Orwell said it good. I mean, if we don't change it now, it's iron boots stepping on the face of humanity forever.
I think that we are at a turning point in that regard, and I wonder why we're hearing so much about all of these other countries going into and protesting and everything. And it seems like it's building to a crescendo, and I think that the major media is hurting us into a mentality that I think we're going to be sorry with. Aaron is joining us on the phone, and we're going to pick up with Aaron right after this break. You're listening to The Rage on FM 107 AM 1240. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Rage, FM 107, AM 1240. I am Catch 22. Joining me tonight on the night crew, we have Bill Ryder, we have Edwin Vargas, and we have John Herko. And joining us on the phone, we have Aaron calling in from Florida. Aaron, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you doing, Catch?
I'm doing all right.
You know, I talked to you earlier on before the show, but I was wondering if I know John sent out an email about the Zeitgeist movie, and man, I'm hearing a lot of people talking about the new Zeitgeist movie, and I was wondering if it was okay if I could just go through a couple of the points that John mentioned in his email real quick.
I think it's a documentary that everybody needs to see to formulate their own opinions on it, and go ahead and do that.
Yeah, definitely. It's an excellent, excellent documentary series. I highly recommend the latest one that came out, which is Zeitgeist Moving Forward. One thing that I see a lot that people think about the first one, they say, oh, a flaw in the research on Christianity was You know, he tried to debunk Christianity, saying Jesus never existed because it is all astrological references. One of the popular points out there is saying that, well, there's no December 25th reference in the Bible. And that's true, there isn't, but however, there actually is the astrological reference if you read the story on Jesus' birth, in that, you know, three wise men follow the brightest star in the east, and you can actually track that, and I don't want to go into too much detail because it'll take up too much time, but if you want a quick reference on it, the Pharmacratic Inquisition, which is a documentary online, breaks it down really easy to see with graphics and everything, and you can actually, on December 25th, you can go outside and reference it yourself to make sure that the information's accurate. So, you know, what a better reference than, you know, your own two eyeballs
Aaron,
you know, looking up in the sky.
Aaron, I don't have a problem at all with the December 25th reference. It's
well, the video that you sent out was mentioning it, and a lot of the other people that I saw commenting on that video were saying, yeah, there's nothing about December 25th in the Bible, but I don't really want to spend too much time on the Christianity part. There are some more points that I wanted to get to.
Well, you brought it up, so.
Yeah.
My problem isn't with the fact of it, because I do believe there's an astrological basis for a lot of it, but I think to try to say that Krishna and Mithra and all these other ones, all these other sun gods, all have to do with the 25th, there is no reference in all these other ones. So to say that that's such a salient point, that the 25th, when you can't back it up, I mean, there's not even a mention. For Krishna, the only mention is the fact that there were stars in the sky and never anything to do with his birth or anything like that. I'm just saying it just really bothered me that he did such a... He worked so hard to trash the theistic religions and then go on to tell about the truths and not about 9/11 and the truths about the monetary system. And the simple fact of the state that Peter Joseph doesn't use his real name bugs the heck out of me. What's he trying to hide?
Neither does Catch 22.
Yeah, but John Herko doesn't. So John Herko was making the comments. I've already known what it's cost me to use my real name. But truth is in the light.
And incidentally, the name is.
Man, this is why I wrote everything down, and I just wanted to blast through it because, you know, there's a couple of things I want to hit on.
Well, then
really
just go ahead and blast through them.
All right, so John, please hold off till I finish everything. And the second point I wanted to mention was the technology that was involved on it. You know, he's suggesting that we use a central computer to run all of our to manage all of our resources, you know, planetary wide. And you know, one thing I want to say about that in defense is that this system is already being used against us, i.e., you know, the surveillance grid, the traffic cameras, the internet, the RFID on all the products that we buy at Walmart and all the little Chinese import shops, dollar stores. You know, that technology is already being used, and it's being used against us. And I think the guy, I can't say I totally agree with the system that he has, that he proposes as a solution, but the technology, you know, using the energy sources that we could be using, you know, like when you had Harry Braun on the air, you know, that the sun puts out 10,000 times more power than what we need to supply our whole human species, and that's not including, you know, if we use geothermal, wind technology, wave technology. You know, we're really living in a place where energy is an abundance. And to think for a second that, you know, we're running out of energy, it's lunacy. It is just straight up lunacy. And anybody that spends any amount of time researching this stuff is going to find that out for themselves. and find out how ridiculous it is that we're still using oil. The third point I wanted to mention was incentive. And I think that's the biggest thing that nobody talks about, and I've been trying to say it for years, is that this whole system that we have right now, there is absolutely no incentive for it to benefit you and me. There's no incentive for any politician to ever fix any problem. There's no incentive for the monetary system to ever benefit anybody except for a small elite few. And I think these are some things that really need to get brought up. And one thing I also mentioned that he really hit, I thought he hit out of the park is, you know, when do you ever hear an economist take into factor, you know, that people are involved in the game and people need to eat, they need clean water, they need clean air. You never hear this crap. And, not once in human history has a politician ever fixed anything. And the politicians that do look like they're about to fix something usually end up in plane crashes like the senator from Alaska and, the whole host of, you know, take your pick. But those are the three points that I wanted to hit on. One point that I didn't like about the movie series, especially with the Christianity thing, was that I've actually found a very liberating message in the Bible, especially if you track down and you get into the work of John Marco Allegro, who actually uncovered a big amount of information about how Jesus was actually the anthropomorphism of a sacred shamanic mushroom. And, before anybody has any contempt prior to investigation, I'd recommend reading into his work because, you know, when we take the Bible as a mythology, which I actually think is what it was meant to be, we find this message of, our ancient ancestors communicating to us, trying to say, hey, have communion with the earth and with the cosmos. Wow, what a concept. Go live in balance and harmony with our planet, you know. I do want to say I think what he was hitting at with, trying to scrap the old, belief systems is, these belief systems that people get caught up into, they're toxic, rather than believing, people would rather just have faith and say, oh, well, you know, and people have faith in the economic system. That's what gives our dollar value is faith rather than critically thinking and going out and looking at it like, all right, what actually does give our dollar value? Oh, nothing. We imagine it into existence, and that imagination is getting ready to run out of room. And I want to say one last thing about the gold standard, which is just totally ridiculous, and it irks the hell out of me.
Okay, hurry up. I want to give some other people a chance to talk to. Go ahead.
Gold standard,
go ahead.
One thing about the gold standard is why in the world would you want to take a precious resource that takes all this energy to go and mine and then put it and use it as a currency? When you use it as a currency, you totally take it away from what it's actually, you could be used for, and then put an imaginary value on it.
It's easily controlled. It's an insane thing to do to use gold to back money.
It is. It is. It's just totally asinine. But those are the points that I wanted to hit, and now I'm going to shut up and hopefully you guys can keep me on the line and
hang on. We're going to get to Steve when we get on the other side of the break. He's calling all the way from Ottawa, which I'm assuming is Canada. And you're listening to The Rage. We'll be right back after this short message.
The views and opinions expressed in this program are not necessarily those of the talk station, its management, or ownership.
This is The Rage. The Rage.
Is it common sense that the very political party who claims to be the party of the people and shouts, "We will bring change," consistently stops all common sense legislation? They call themselves progressive global thinkers. We call them traitors. This happened all once before. 232 years ago, it led to revolution. It will happen again unless you take back America now. Join the grassroots movement of the second American revolution. Not of guns and violence, but pressure, pressure, pressure on your non-representing representatives who created these problems in the first place. No presidential candidate, no political party can save you now. Only an aroused citizenry will turn this uncommon sense around. He or she who does nothing now is helping them to destroy America.
Get your rage on. Call 1-800-818-2255.
Pressure. 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 Drag your feet. Keep the pressure on them. Anything you can do to drag this system down, you need to do it. Because it's going to crash. It's going to come down. Now, it can come down one of two ways. You can control it coming down, or it can come down on top of you. It's your choice. We've had some locals in here tonight from New Bern joining us on the panel. Bill Ryder is with us, Edwin Vargas, and John Herko. And we've talked about some local things. But it doesn't detract from this is going on all over the planet. Everywhere on this earth, we are struggling against the elite, the power that be. And we're talking about a very small group of people compared to the larger population. Now, Steve is on the line from Ottawa, and he's been holding a long time. I appreciate you holding. Steve, what's on your mind? What's your rage, man?
Hi, guys. First of all, thank you very much for having this radio program.
Well, thank you.
No, it's awesome. I mean, we don't hear enough, depth talking about issues and so forth, but what I want to talk about quickly is the hierarchy of freedom. And from my viewpoint, what I think is that we got God at the top, or your creator, or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
Then you got you or me, right? Next level. And then you got everybody else. And everybody else includes the government and everybody else, right?
Right.
The point being, if you look at the authority of a human being, the government is under each and every one of us. And I'm just, just saying that's kind of profound.
Well, tell us a little bit about, there's a lot of BS going on up in Canada. They're stealing your rights as fast as they're stealing ours down here. Tell us a little bit about what's going on. What's your viewpoint of what's going on up in your country?
You know, it's kind of funny because, you look at the way that people think about America from a Canadian point of view, and we're quick, or not, I shouldn't say we're quick, because individuals are what matters, but people say that Americans are arrogant, fat, whatever, and it's all BS, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because they really don't know what the heck they're talking about.
Well, what I'm talking about is the encroachments on your freedom up there in Canada. I mean, there's a lot of patriot information that comes out of Canada, and there's a lot of activists up there, and it seems like your politicians are just as crooked as ours.
Oh, no question. I mean, the whole thing in the Western world, whether it's Australia, Britain, United States, Canada, I mean, the whole thing's a scam, right?
What are you paying for gas up there?
Hey?
What are you paying for gas?
We pay $1.14 a liter.
That's like, what, $4.50 a gallon?
Is that what it is?
Yeah, no, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I know.
But
I know.
You know what? Every single gas station in my city is the same price.
Really?
Yeah.
We can get 15 cents difference in a gallon of gas just driving, to the next town 5 miles away.
Oh, we have no competition whatsoever up here in terms of pricing for gas.
How about the gun laws?
And you know what? It was, I think, 2 years ago, it doubled. it went way up and then dropped back down.
Are y'all getting mad? What are you doing about it?
What are we doing about
yeah.
it? Not much, actually. I mean, the sheeple are, you know, doing their thing, and they take it. They just take it.
In the U.S., we're going to take it until people in this country don't sit on the sidelines and do something about it. A lot of things are mentioned about trying to get the government away. And I think that's what's going on with the current administration. They want to have government control over everything.
Right.
In Canada now, do you love your health care or hate it?
Well, it depends, you know, what side of reality you're coming from. I mean, me, I look at it and I go, well, free market delivery of health care, why should that be any different than free market delivery of television or, you know...
Free market delivery of anything else.
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean,
because the incentive is... and it, you can get the best health care in this country, okay? And
I disagree with that.
You can. You get the best health care in this country when you go to the emergency room.
You know what?
No.
I was playing hockey, and I chased an icing call down, and I broke both hands. Some guy tripped me up with his hockey stick, and it took me 2 years to get it fixed. 2 freaking years. You know what? My point is, I'd rather be able to hire a private insurance company, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay.
No, we can't. We have to go with the government-run system, which is corrupt, like, to no end. And you wait. You just take what they give you. It's insanity.
Well, in my travels last year, because I was in three countries, Scotland, France, and another part of the country, I asked people on the street, and everybody unequivocally told me, if you don't have a supplemental plan to the state-run health plan, you're not going to get good care.
Right.
And I'll give you an example. I have a friend, I have a relative of mine. He's a laser surgeon in France. He made $150,000 last year, and half went to taxes. And he has to do surgeries twice a week on the side. That's where he makes his money, because he's working for a government-run system to do these laser surgeries.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me unequivocally he has 4 children in Versailles, and he gets better health care because he has a supplemental plan that he has to pay because the normal plan is crappy.
Well, let me ask you another question, Steve. What's the debt in Canada? Does your government create money interest-free, or does it borrow it from a central bank at interest?
Well, it's the same thing as what's going on in the U.S.
Yeah,
Bank
that's
of
my
London.
Point.
Have you looked at, there was some documentary that came out about, in Britain, about, I can't remember the name of it, sorry, but 60% of Britain is government, you know, run, or jobs, whatever.
Well, I think we're at 40%, aren't
well,
we?
We're higher than that.
Well, I interviewed a couple of Brits. When I was there, my first stop on my leg on my vacation, and they told me, just like here, well, we have a problem with influx of Mexicans. They told me that our equivalent of Social Security over there is about 65 pounds a week, which is not a lot of money, okay?
Yeah.
And the people who have come in from other parts of the world have made a big dent on a system of people paying into. No different than here when you have all these other illegals using our system that have not paid into it. They just use the system. And that's why this whole thing in Arizona, I'm totally for you know, strengthening the so-called...
I think it's a red herring myself.
But you know what? The bottom line is that the free market, right, it supply and demand. I mean, it's the most basic fundamental principle of economics, right? You need something. People will deliver it, and they will get money in return for delivering it. But the government... in Britain, United States, Canada, whatever, they step in and they say, no, we'll control it.
Steve, we've got to take this break right now. Thanks a lot for calling. Those are excellent points. And we'll be right back on The Rage, FM 107, AM 1240. Welcome back to The Rage, FM 107, AM 1240. Closing on this last segment here, I'd like to thank Edwin Vargas for joining us tonight. Bill Ryder was here, a very good conversations, and of course John Herko and Madman Jack. In closing out tonight, let's see, we made it all the way down this way on The Rage. I think we got through all of that. Let's take a few minutes here. Anybody got any closing comments? Final Rages? What do you guys think about this? I did have this one thing, one topic. You guys know about the drones that are being used overseas, right?
Yeah.
You know that they're using them in the United States.
Yep.
And you know that they have a drone that looks very much like the circular fans set in a floor, in the center of a floor. That's all the bigger they are. And these things carry infrared cameras, high-sensitivity microphones, lasers that can read sound off of glass, and things like this. And these things are going to be deployed. Anybody have any thoughts on that?
What's the purpose? I mean,
The purpose of them, they're going to be using them for traffic surveillance.
That's the excuse. It's just like the Walmart. Walmart putting up the monitors from the Homeland Security. If you see something, say something, right? It's the same old get everybody to rat on everybody's society.
Well, they're so small and allegedly so inexpensive that they'll be using them for all kinds of surveillance. A kid gets lost. You know, they can send them up and they can have them flying all over and cover. And, I mean, the things are, they're a little electric. They run for hours and hours and hours. They can hover. They do all the, and again, on YouTube, there's several of them. But they'll be able to hover right outside your window and look right in at you. You won't even be able to hear it or see it. You know, at night, you know, maybe I'm a little over paranoid, but I see all of these encroachments coming in, and we're talking about lack of accountability on the upper end, but all of us are being made to account.
What agency is deploying these?
Is it
CIA or
DHS, isn't it? Department of Homeland Security. It's the blanket organization.
It says, I've lost my internet connection. It says thermal imaging. They're used by DARPA right now, and I'm not going to be able to finish that.
That's who gave us the internet, DARPA.
Al Gore? Yeah.
No, it was DARPA.
Well, I'm very worried about, when I was talking earlier about the, how would the Cairo situation be in the United States? Have you ever noticed when you look at police today? If you ever go look at the police department photograph, they all got shaved heads. They all got that kind of look to them, and that's scary. And putting this kind of surveillance.
There used to be the men in blue, now there's the men in black.
But getting us used to being surveilled all the time. They've got cameras everywhere, and I think that, again, any technology can be used for good or bad, and I think that there is good to the cameras, but I think that this technology is going to be misused.
Well, Ketch, I think you just used the example of airport security, like we talked about before, okay? You have these $150,000 body scanners that are radiating people, okay? Chertoff, that led the ex-head of the Homeland Security,
right,
is now the major lobbyist for the scanners, right?
Right?
You got these, they're giving you a choice, go through the scanner or get this invasive pat-down, right?
Mm-hmm.
When all it takes is one trained bomb gunpowder sniffing dog at a cost of a, what did we discuss it with Jess? Because he actually trains those dogs. $10,000 for one dog, okay, and one man to sniff. And you could have a couple of dogs. You would not need. They can sniff out guns. They can sniff out ammunition. They can sniff out anything that they say we're supposed to be worried about, and there would be no security lines. They could just have the dog walking up and down. But instead, what do they give us? They spend millions and millions of dollars on scanners that would not even detect the underwear bomber, who turns out the underwear bomber wouldn't even got on the plane if it wasn't for a U.S. diplomat forcing the airlines to let him get on the plane in Amsterdam. Wasn't it in Amsterdam?
Yeah.
He tried to get on the plane. He had no passport. The airline wasn't going to let him on. A U.S. diplomat came up and forced the airline to let him on the plane. You tell me that wasn't a false flag setup. And no, it came in just in time for the new contracts for the body scanners to come out.
Well,
it's all about control.
I'm thinking that when these things you're talking about catch are deployed in front of someone's window, someone's going to have a 12-gauge shotgun and probably shoot it out of the sky. There's going to have to be a line drawn. It's no different that we're talking on the radio right now when they're talking about censoring certain things that we say or certain things that we discuss. If they're going to be, I'm all for technology and safety mechanisms for stopping things, for stopping terrorists, for stopping the bad guy. What was that?
Microphone.
Terrorist.
Hello.
Aloha. For type of environments that are going to protect you. But like you mentioned, Cash, there's certain things in this country, technology is great, but it's going to come down to this. Okay, are we going to have a universal ID card with your fingerprint on it?
That's what Arizona's all about.
But there's certain things on the Arizona discussion that I look at it this way. And it's like in Arizona. If you have 100%, you can't come in this country, you have to have a line drawn and said, hey, because I cannot have 5,000 people and show up in Mexico City and work illegal. Why is it allowed to be done here? I can't have me and Cash.
Mexico is already chipping people on their border to the south. They're requiring microchips.
Well, I'm just...
I would rather take my chances with a terrorist than a tyrannical government any time.
The immigration thing is all...
It's all a red herring. It's a Hegelian dialectic.
Well, we made the problem. I mean, until we stop them making the border crossing hard, everybody used to go over, work in America, did whatever they did, and then they went home every night. But now that they made it hard, then it's turned into a scam. And
they can't go home.
Our money system is a Ponzi scheme. And it constantly needs new suckers. And that's all they're here for.
My question, why does the government borrow money when it can print it for free, requiring no income tax, no national debt? I mean, come on. I mean, they could print it for free. No national debt, no IRS. April 15th would mean nothing anymore. It's all about control.
No, we're going to have some serious problems in this country if we do not control the way we do things internally, monetarily, the way we run things. Because, like I mentioned to Catch before, we have to come up with a plan in this country that what are we going to be secure on? How big our government is going to be? Are we going to fund and take care of every social, economic program in this country? Are we going to say, this one's important, this one is not. This one we leave alone, this one we don't touch.
I understand what you're saying, and it's all well and good, but I think if you look back to the rise of Nazi socialism, Thomas Mann, the Nobel Prize winner, wrote Reflections of a Non-Political Man, how Germany basically was abhorrent to politics. Hitler rose to power because the population was unconcerned with the politics of their government. What do we have today? How many people are calling in tonight? How many people have you reached on your Facebook page and so forth to these pressing questions? We've got acquiescence. We have people who, I guess they're happy with the status quo and they don't really care about...
They came for the communists and I didn't speak up. They came for the...
It's El Niemöller's quote,
yeah,
sure. Well, America doesn't do anything until it's in their backyard, and I've noticed this over the period of years that I've been doing this. And I think people are waking up and they're becoming aware quickly. But the thing that worries me is that they're standing like, now what do I do? Yeah. And we're at that point. I mean, the money system is treason. The Federal Reserve Bank is committing treason.
Absolutely.
There's no doubt about it.
Absolutely.
They came in 1913, dollars worth a dollar. Here we are in 2010, and the dollar has lost 97%, if not more, of its value. And the quickest way to trash a country, historically, is to debacle
the words of Mayor M. Shell Bauer, I mean Rothschild, give me control of the monetary system, and I care not who makes its laws.
And that's exactly
I mean, it's all a false herring, because if nobody can answer the question, why does the country borrow money?
But I think in this country, you have to understand that until the rubber meets the road, if that gas pump out there is $15 a gallon, that's when we really will start getting serious about this country.
Within 5 years, it's going to take 65% income tax rate just to pay the interest on the debt. Within 10 years, it's going to take 100%.
Well, wait a minute. If your argument is correct, then we ought to be there now already. You know, people were saying this several years ago. Mm-hmm. If gas ever gets to be $3 or $4 a gallon,
right,
we're going to have a revolution. We're there now, boys. Where is the revolution?
That's right.
Well, when it goes to $8, $10 a gallon, Ed, I think you see the same acquiescence. People ain't going to get off their butts.
Well, let me tell you, if gas was right now $10 a gallon and unemployment in this country, which statistically is much higher than 9%.
Yeah, that's a joke in itself. I mean, as soon as they run out of money to pay unemployment, then statistically the unemployment rate will be zero because it's only based on people that are getting unemployment. You know what I'm saying? It's the whole thing's a big joke. It's the whole system is a scam. You're given a choice between Council on Foreign Relations member A, Council on Foreign Relations B. You think there's Democrats, you think there's Republicans. It's all a big joke. If they can just answer me the question, why do we have a national debt in the first place? We could fund everything we needed to fund. We could fund the power plants. We could fund anything. Everybody could be employed if the government just followed Article 1, Section 8, Paragraph 5.
Well, Catch, I appreciate your time. This is a great discussion that we had, and being here.
Thanks for inviting me tonight.
I appreciate you both coming. Good meeting you, Edwin, after all the times that we have spoke. And Bill, glad you came too. I'd like to have you come back. And John, don't come back.
YouTube, John Herko channel. Watch the videos. Tell us. I'll get them on the rage as soon as I can.
And thank you all very much for tuning in and participating to whatever degree that you did. And go out there and do something. It's time to man up.
Amen.